time for the mark of the best. And that is the time that we are in discussions about the subject of holiness. And so we're going to take about three services and discuss the issue of holiness. I like to call it the mark of the best because there's a lot of people that are going to be marked by the beast. But I do not want to be marked by the beast. I don't want to wear, I don't want a computer chip in my forehead or in the back of my hand. And I want to wear the mark of the best. And that is Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we're going to go into lesson number one tonight. And so just remain seated. It is Bible study. We'll give you several scriptures here shortly. And somebody say, help him, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Looking forward to being with you this weekend. We've got great subject matter to discuss and cover. And awesome sermon material that the Lord has given us. Praise God. I shared some ideas and sermon thoughts with Brother Foster, and he was just riding away. He said, I like that. I've never thought of that. And so he'll be preaching that probably Sunday. I love making fun of him. Lesson number one, we're tonight, the body of Christ will reject things. But let us look at the physical body, how that even the physical body is subject to reject foreign objects. For instance, we get a splinter in the finger. And we don't realize it because it's so small. And then within a couple of 3 days, that area on the finger or the hand becomes very sore. How many of you have ever witnessed that? I'm going through that as I speak. I've tried to dig it out with a needle and made it worse than it was. Now it is healed. I can still feel something in there. But what happens is the white blood cells begin to build around that and literally begin to push that object out because it doesn't have any business being in there. And so it is that the body rejects things that are foreign. And so it is in the body of Christ. There are elements of religion that believe that all you preach is the mercy of God. And everything else remains the same as it always has. Nothing matters. You can smoke, tote, choke, drink, stink, whatever you want to do, as long as you believe that the Lord is my Savior, my personal Savior. It's almost as if we become the God and He becomes the little servant. Well, the truth of the matter is, He's the God, and I'm the little servant. Amen? We get our eye color, our hair color, we get our... all of that comes from genes that are passed on from our parents. And so we get our holiness, we get our character, we get our integrity, we get all of these things passed down from spiritual genes that come from our Heavenly Father. I hope you understand what I'm saying here tonight when I say I want to look like Him. I want to act like Him. I want to talk like Him. I want to have the same character He had. I want to have the same anointing. I want everything He's got, I want to have it. And I'd live to get it. This is the body of Christ. And you cannot change the body of Christ as you go. Unholiness will be rejected from his body just like white blood cells reject a splinter in the finger. Holiness is to the soul what health is to the body. The more holiness you have, the healthier your soul is. And the Bible warns us and says that pride goeth before fall. Pride goes before fall. And so tonight, this issue, this point, these things that we're going to bring to our attention are just as pertinent and just as important as Acts 2:38. Amen. The pioneers of the present-day apostolic church were part of the great holiness movement that swept denominationalism near the beginning of this century. When they received the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God convicted them of fleshly lust and worldliness. Many were compelled to separate from people and organizations that they loved. Without the advantage of formal training or scholarship, they searched the Scriptures. The Word of God meant everything to them. As they discovered truth, it became their standard. The message of holiness and separation determined their identity. They became known as holiness people. I don't know how you feel about it, but I like that title. The generations that have followed have not been as energetic in their pursuit of godliness. Neither have they been able to hold on to all that was dear to the pioneers. Great losses have been sustained by one generation at a time. Today we hear standards that were once commonly held by all, branded as legalistic and restricted to Christian liberty. Tonight, what I'm saying doesn't mean anything to anybody, many people. While there's such a disrespect for God, they can't even sit in the house of God and have honor for the man of God. They can't even sit in the house of God and have respect for the Word of God going forth. Slouched around like they're on a bar stool or somewhere. Just whatever. No cost. No respect. No honor. Care less. Say what you got to say, preacher. I'm just cooling it. There is a place where you won't cool it if you don't get a hold of what this preacher's trying to say tonight. Because this is one of the most important subjects and topics that anyone will ever hear. I want you to look around at all the empty chairs. That represents a person that doesn't have the opportunity to hear what I'm saying tonight. But if you're in the flesh, and I know you are, and you're here tonight, God has given you the ability to hear a subject that is so close to Him until He died for that as well. And it's holiness. Holiness is important. Holiness represents a wholeness with the character of Jesus Christ. Am I making sense? This slide that has taken place over the past decades, it continues where there's a lack of true biblical perspective. Holiness is not optional, ladies and gentlemen. It's an imperative of Scripture. God's Word has always commanded His people to be holy. If we cease to emphasize and pursue the holiness of God, everything else that we do will come to nothing. When truth is presented, understandably, it inevitably creates revolutionary change and transformation. The gospel produces crystal clear sanity and reason. It's time for some of us to change from mortal to divine in our nature. We can't renew. We can't be changed to immortality right now. We can't be changed to the supernatural right now. But in our mind and in our spirits and in our hearts, we can take it on the divine nature of Jesus Christ. What was Jacob before he became a prince to God? A worm. A deceiver. He could look like one thing and act like another. He could have a demeanor, but inside of his heart be something else. And yet God done something so miraculous until he said, I'm going to change your name to Jacob because you will be the father of many nations. I want God to change me like that. I want God to develop me like that. I want him to move on me like that. Amen. I don't want to be a preacher and still harbor the ability to hate. I don't want to be a preacher and still have the ability to talk about my brother behind his back. I don't want to be called a preacher and still be able to lie, cheat, steal. Hello? I could go a long way on that. But I'd like to be a preacher to you and a preacher to everybody else in this nation. I'd like to be a Christian to you and a Christian to God at the very same time. I'd like to be a child of God. Amen. Isaiah 6:1-5. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. Twine covered his face. Twine covered his feet. With twine he flew. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And we are to be like the Lord. And if the Lord is holy, that's why he said, Be ye holy, for I am holy. The Bible said the whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me. Everywhere there's holiness, the house is going to be filled with the smoke. Everywhere there's holiness. I can take you to dead churches tonight because there's no holiness. I can take you to dead religion tonight because there's no holiness. But wherever there's holiness and the seraphims fly and the power of God is there, amen. The Spirit of the Lord is in their midst. The anointing is there. The grace of God. The mercy of God. Revival is where there's holiness. The last thing the devil wants in this generation is apostolic revival. Hallelujah. And that's why if he's going to fight against revival, then he's got to cause holiness to leave. But holiness is not going anywhere at Landmark. It's going to be here until the rapture takes place. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, I am undone. Isaiah realized that he stood in the midst of a house that was holy, in the midst of a God that was holy. And he said, I'm undone. I'm not quite finished. I'm not where I need to be because I am a man of unclean lips. God, you've got to sanctify my lips. I know my lips are unclean. I've said things I shouldn't say. I've been where I shouldn't go. I've done what I shouldn't do. I'm undone. I'm unholy. And he said, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Isaiah confessed to God that I keep company with people that don't talk right. And it's time for us, if a prophet of God can come clean with God, then how much more should we ought to come clean with God and say, Lord, my lips are unclean. I hang out with people with lips that are unclean. Give me mercy, God, so that I too can cry, holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Praise God. Praise God. We cannot say, Lord, I want you to bless me, but I don't want you to touch me. I really need you to bless me, but I do not want you to touch me. Holiness is like a seed. It can't grow until it's sown. And when it is sown, it is not grown. It does have to have time to grow. And so we will have patience with anybody and everybody at Landmark. Amen? Hallelujah. And so there's going to be people in every phase at Landmark with the issue of holiness. Amen? I don't want there to ever be a service at our church that we don't see jewelry. I don't want there to ever be a service in our church that we don't have somebody with a lady with fresh cut hair. I don't want there to ever be a service in our church that ladies aren't wearing breeches. Hello? I kind of hope we never have a service where there's a man wearing a dress. But we'll deal with him the best we can. And that's why we have Tuesday nights like tonight, because I want to talk to the church. Amen. And for the next two Tuesday nights, we're going to talk more about this and even in more detail. I would not advertise for you to bring as many visitors as you possibly can, because I don't believe that you can clean a fish before you catch it. Hello? When you go fishing, you don't take your scaler. You take a rod and reel. But for the next two Tuesday nights, we're going to have the scaler. Because I hope there's some fish in here that's already been caught. Now on Sunday morning and Sunday night, we're preaching Holy Ghost for the next 2 weeks. And we're preaching about living for God and how God can deliver and how God can set free and how God's going to bless your family, put your marriage back together, and save your kids, fill you with the Holy Ghost. I want them here. I want them wall to wall and treetop tall. Amen? But you can't expect people that are unrepentant, not filled with the Holy Ghost, and never been baptized in Jesus' name to understand some of the things that we're going to be discussing for the next few weeks. But I need you to be here. Oh, I've heard that before. It doesn't matter if you've heard it before. God wants to do a fresh thing in us. He wants to give us a tender touch. He wants to move in a great way. Amen. And He wants us to regroup and fill our arsenal once again. You understand what I'm saying? There's a clear call of holiness from the Scripture tonight. Leviticus 11:44. Brother Tyre, if you'll help us for the next few moments. We're going to go fast. I hope you can get it. Leviticus 11:44. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves. Amen. Don't look for God to do all the holiness issue. There's some things we can do for ourselves. And He said, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Amen. There are creeps in this earth. There's some creeps out there. Amen. There's creeps in other churches. And these creeps want to tell you, you don't need to be holy. You don't need to dress holy. Oh, lighten up a little bit. Amen. Come on, preacher, lighten up and fill it up. Yeah, I could lighten up. And with our personalities, we could fill it up. But it'd be full of creeps. I'm not calling anybody here tonight a creep. I'm just telling you, if you know what holiness is, if you've been taught what holiness is, you understand what holiness is, and without a doubt, you're not confused about it, and you have a nasty taste in your mouth about it, you might be in need of holiness. What do you think God's going to say? I'm not here to call people names. But the Word of God said there's creeps out there, and so you need to watch out for the creeps. Isaiah 52:11 said, Isaiah 52:11, depart you. And He made it personal. Ye, in the Word of God, means you. That's shorthand for you. And He's telling me to depart. You depart, no matter what anybody else is doing. He said it again. Depart you. Go you out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go you out of the midst of her. Be you clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 7:1. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us, somebody say me, let me cleanse myself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. Somebody said, I'm not doing anything till my heart tells me. You better watch out, because the Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? You can't know your heart. Amen. But you can know the Word of God. And when the Word of God says to do it, we just need to do it. You don't have to have conviction. You don't have to have God hit you over the head. You don't have to wait 18 years. You don't have to wait 20 years. Amen. Do what the Word of God said. That's why the Word says, clean yourselves from this wicked generation. Amen. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. 1 Thessalonians 4, 7 through 8. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He's called us unto holiness. That means we must be coming out of unholiness, and we are making our way to holiness. Amen? He therefore that despiseth not man. He's telling me, if I despise holiness, I despise God, who hath also given unto us His Holy Spirit. God is simply saying, I am giving you the most holy thing in the universe. And when I give it to you, I want you to begin to make yourself holy, so that which I've given you is holy, can live in a vessel that is holy. Hebrews 12 and 14 says, follow peace with all men. Well, I know how to keep peace in the family. Well, you need to keep peace with your friends too. And you need to keep peace with your enemies as well. Let me ask you a personal question. Does God love your enemies? Does God love your enemies? Did God love you when you were His enemy? Then we need to love. The Bible says we can love anybody that loves us. I don't have any problem with somebody wanting to give me $1,000 a day. I love them. Shine their shoes. Wash their car. Windows in their house. Vacuum their floor. $1,000 a day, that create a whole lot of love. But it's the one that wants to get your $1,000. It's the one that wants to, somebody called it a goat. I don't know what that means, but maybe it means somebody, when somebody gets your goat, I guess they got you to get mad. I guess they got you to get angry. The Bible says to be angry and sin not. Hallelujah. And so that's holiness. Ladies and gentlemen, that is holiness. And I want you to understand tonight, before we ever get into it, that holiness is more than a sleeve length. Holiness is more than a dress length. Holiness is more than shamefacedness. And holiness is more than cut hair or uncut hair. It's more than all of that. It's deeper than that. That's part of it. But it is so much deeper. It's got to go deeper than the fabric. It's got to go deeper than the skin. And then it's got to get into the marrow of the bone. And then it's got to get deep into the spirit. Come on, don't just clap your hands because somebody else is. Hear what this preacher is saying. Because if you will adhere to holiness in your spirit and a love to your brother and your sister, and you decide to stop spreading news and stop spreading trash and stop spreading gossip and dragging up past, if you will do that, God will usher in a revival in this house that the devil cannot stop, that the devil will envy and the devil will hate. Still snowing, Brother Tony? Would you look out the window there and tell me if it's still snowing? Because if it's not snowing, maybe I can teach a little longer. Let me just tell you this. You remember the story I told you that Brother Foster told years ago about a man that was demon-possessed? Well, I had it wrong. No, I didn't. had it right. The man was demon possessed, and he rebuked that demon. He gave me the details. I said, I want the details. I want to hear it from you on the way to the airport today. I said, I want the details from you. He said, well, it was a man from Monroe, Louisiana, my dad's church. He said, I was preaching. I was a young evangelist. Dad was using me that night. And I was preaching, and this person was demon-possessed. And they cast that demon out and got those demons out. And then a long time afterward, he was preaching in another place, and a person was demon possessed, and they began to pray again and believe God for that person, for those demons to come out of that person. And so when they began to pray, this girl was so full of demons until they had to come out one by one. They'd come out. A demon would leave her, and just a peace and a relaxation would come over her, and then all of a sudden it would well up again, and she'd come out with a man's voice, and her eyes just bugged out, and all of this noise and all of this stuff, and then that one would leave, and then all of a sudden they got it had to be the last one, and this was the big boy, and he said, "I'm not coming out." He said, "I know who you are. You're Tom Foster. You rebuked me out of an individual before. But let me tell you something. That person was weak. But this girl is strong." That's exactly how he said it. I sound just like it, didn't I? "This girl is strong," Brother Tom said. And they began to pray. And as that thing would begin to surface and speak, Brother Foster said, "How long have you been in here?" And that demon spoke and said, "I've been in this lady since she was a baby. That's why I wanted the kids to stay in the auditorium tonight." That demon went on to say things like that. And they finally got that bad, nasty, ugly spirit out of her, and she began to testify. Brother Foster asked her, he said, "How long you've been feeling this way?" She said, "Since I was a baby." She said, "I remember when I was about 2 or 3 years old that my daddy would come in and he would beat my mama to a pulp. He would beat her and beat her, and I would see that. And when I was a baby, I developed hate toward my daddy. And when she developed that hate, that was the seedbed for that demon to come in." I'm telling you, when you say you hate somebody, you're not saying that you have a feeling towards somebody. You're saying, "I'm inviting a spirit to come in." Because hate is a spirit. It is a demon fallen from heaven that is headed for a devil's hell. Jealousy is a spirit. It's not an emotion. It's not a feeling. That's why psychiatrists will tell you, and psychologists will tell you, that it is a feeling. It's just an emotion. Here, take this drug. The drug staggers the person, but it allows the demon to just keep growing. She said, "I saw that as a baby, and my mama would take me up in her arms after all that and rock me, and she'd be bleeding and crying and weeping. And I wanted our children to stay in here for holiness. I want our babies to stay in here for holiness. Because if devils can plant seeds in their hearts when they're young like that in the world, we can plant seeds when they're young in their heart right here in this sanctuary. They may not know what this preacher's saying. They may not know what I'm talking about, but I'm casting some seed here tonight. I'm throwing out some seed here tonight. I want our babies to know this pastor loves you. I don't know how your mom and daddy's acting at home. I don't know how your mama talks when nobody's looking. I don't know how your daddy acts when nobody's watching, but I want you to know this preacher loves you. This pastor cares about you. Hallelujah. And I'm going to cast the seed tonight, and I'm praying to God. God, that it falls on fertile ground. I want our children to adhere to holiness. If the world can sow seeds of hate, if the world can sow seeds of jealousy, and men can grow up and have jealousy so strong they can't hardly breathe, if women can grow up and have hate in their heart so strong they can't hardly breathe sometimes, then I believe we can sow seeds in our children's young heart that they can grow up and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my husband, as for me and my wife, we're going to live holy, and we don't care what the world thinks about it. There ain't a demon in hell, there ain't a devil in hell that's going to take away the holiness that's in the Word of God. You can laugh it off, but I ain't laughing it off. You can joke it off, but I'm not joking it off. You can take it lightly, but I'm taking it deeply. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace. Temper. Temperament. Follow peace with all men. Hallelujah. Somebody comes to you with positive news, don't turn it into negative. Hello? Somebody comes to you and says, you know, I've had a bad cough for the last week, but I think God's healing me. Don't look at them and say, you might have cancer. Hello? Praise God. Somebody comes to you and says, God's blessing my family. Don't look at them and say, I wish I didn't have a family. My kid's about to get on my nerves. Kids driving me crazy. And you know what? They're going to drive you crazy to the next generation. And maybe the next generation is going to say, Lord, I give my kids to you, and I know you're going to work it out. It may take 10 years, but would you understand something? Some things are worth waiting for instead of standing back and griping about and complaining about. Let's get up and understand that victory's coming down that dusty road. And when I lay my hands on the hem of his garment, he's going to deliver me and set me free. Man, I didn't mean to get into preaching tonight, but I'm just telling you, I believe that the Lord would make us all energetic about holiness, because if we could blanket ourselves with this holiness temperament, he said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You're going to have peace with all men, or you're not going to see God. You're going to have holiness, or you're not going to see God. 1 Peter 1:15-16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. Here again is another specific area the Lord is telling us to be holy in. Everybody say all. All manner of conversation. It is unholy to be negative. It is unholy to be pessimistic. It is unholy to thrive on junk. I'll tell you, well, I don't know if I should or not. As sure as I do, this CD is going to fall in the hands of somebody. Maybe I should wait until after people die. Let me just say it like this. Let me tell you the reason why it grates on me to get the news that somebody's he loves her. He likes this. He don't do. He always talks about them. He don't ever talk about me. They took pictures of them. They didn't take pictures of me. But I grew up with that all my life. That's why I like to hunt so much, because they get to talking like that. It was never about what you see when you went shopping. Because they didn't have time to go shopping. Because they were sitting around talking about people that were shopping. Conversation and fellowship does not have to be about other people. It doesn't. And if you'll just write a little private note and tell me you got a problem with it, we'll have a class. We'll have a seminar. I'll fly somebody in. It's a profession. I'm having fun with it, and I hope you are too here tonight. But I would grab my gun and I'd just go to the woods. I didn't want it. I don't know. I don't know if it was God, because I didn't have God. I didn't have anybody in the family that had God. It grated on me, Brother Tony. It depressed me. It was heavy. And I didn't want that on me. I think I got away. Every time I ran, I think I got away before the devil could plant that seed. And now I'm able, in my older age, to turn back and to help those that seed was planted in. It's never too late for anybody to live holy. And I'm talking about holiness. Praise God. Amen. Amen. How can I be holy? In our conversation, we can be holy. In our conversations, we can be holy. In or of ourselves. Listen, you know, and it's almost as if somebody's up here tattletaling right now. I just heard somebody whisper, tell them not to tell it to their best friends too. Okay, well, I'm just going to tell you not to tell it to your best friends either, because they got a best friend, and then that one's got a best friend, that one's going to, and then all the best friends know. Now would you hush? Hallelujah. Isaiah 64:6. I want to give you a ton of Bible here tonight, because I don't want you to feel that this is just coming out of the top of my head. Isaiah 64:6. But we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as the leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. If my righteousness looks to God as filthy rags, what does my unrighteousness look like? But it's not the righteousness that's going to judge us and doom us. Thank God for that. It's our unrighteousness. So even though my righteousness looks as though it's filthy rags to the Lord, I will not be condemned. But I will be condemned for my unrighteousness. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Romans 3:10-12. As it is written, there is none righteous. That was put in there for the self-righteous. That's put in there for the one that's holier than thou. That was put in there for the one that can hear no preaching, no teaching, no seminars, no song will move them, because they have arrived. No one else is on the plateau where they are. That's who this is for. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Hallelujah. At best, ladies and gentlemen, all we can do is obey the Scripture. You're not born with righteousness. You were born in unrighteousness. And you will die in an unrighteous world. You will live and work and thrive and be blessed by God in an unrighteous world. So at best, all we can do within ourselves is obey the Word of God. Then we will be full of grace. And God, who is faithful, will save us and redeem us. And that's why the Bible says we seek first the kingdom of God, and then all other things, all of His holiness, all of His righteousness, all of His goodness, all of His mercy will be added unto us. Can you say amen? Praise God. I'm not done, but I better be finished. Let's stand together. Praise God. Why don't we lift our hands and praise the Lord together here for just a few moments? Could you help me give God glory? Could you help me give God praise? Could you help me give Him honor? And could you help me give Him thanks? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I come before You tonight, Lord, with thanksgiving. I thank You, Lord, that Landmark's ears are still open to hear the Word of God. I thank You that our hearts are still open to hear the Word of God. I thank You that our hearts are still open to hear the voice of the Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. I'm going to tell you something, Landmark, from the depth of my heart. And I don't know if I've ever told you this before, but this is just the way I believe it. I believe that when a person repents of their sins, I believe wholeheartedly that when we baptize them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins, and they are baptized in the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in tongues, I believe if the rapture were to take place, a moment after that, whether they're a prostitute, a whoremonger, whether they're a lesbian, a homosexual, a filthy mouth, a lying tongue, a gossip, a backbiter, I don't care. I believe that they would split the eastern sky right then. They would go to heaven without any knowledge of what I'm talking about tonight. They would go to heaven without any knowledge of what the difference is between man's apparel or woman's apparel. Hear me closely now and understand thoroughly what I'm saying. I believe that they'd go straight up in the rapture. 6 months later, that same person that is still living for God and growing in the grace of God, they're still not where we are, but everything they learn, everything they hear, every instruction that they're given, they do the best of their ability to obey it from the Word of God. I believe if the rapture took place and they were not up to where I am, they're going to go home. Here's where the trouble begins. Hear me closely. It's when we begin to obtain seasoning with God. It's when we begin to obtain that sainthood with God. We see it, we hear it, and we know it to be true. And we begin to make up reason and excuse not to do it. That's when we get in trouble. Because then are we not moving forward, but we are moving backward. And the Bible says anybody that puts their hand to the plow and begins to look back is not fit for the kingdom. We can't go back from where God brought us from. We can't go back from where God brought us from. And so it's a forward motion. Some folks will not grow as fast as other folks. That doesn't bother me. As long as they're growing. The more we know after salvation, the more we are responsible for. You understand me? I said, the more we know after salvation, the more we're responsible for. I'm just begging you tonight, after you hear me say the same things over and over again, and you still have a problem, please take it deep, deep, deep to the Lord in prayer. And see, one scripture I was going to give you tonight was the scripture that says, we are all to be the same. Come together in a sameness. I know the world doesn't like it, but God does, and that's who we're seeking to please. Amen? Why don't we bow our heads in prayer? Brother Hedrick, why don't you take us to the Lord and ask God to put His hand on us tonight? Somebody shout in Jesus' name. God bless you tonight. Be careful on your way home, and live for God.